Greetings, St. Paul community, as we gather together today for a time of reflecting on God's word and his work in our lives. I welcome you into this space, taking a few moments to slow down, taking a few deep breaths, and entering into a moment of prayer. And we begin today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Join me in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for the many ways that you meet us throughout our lives, for the way that you bless us in this life, the friends and the family that you surround us with, the call and vocations that you foster in us all, for the times that you remain with us through hardships. Open our eyes to see you, even in the suffering of our world, to know that you remain with all and everything that we face. We pray for all of this in your holy name. Amen. And our reading today comes from Job, the 19th chapter. Oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and on lead they were engraved on a rock forever. For I know that my vindicator lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold not another. So as we hear this passage from Job today, we only get a small glimpse, just those few verses, about Job's entire story and proclamation. So to give us a better understanding of where Job is coming from in our reading today and what he's actually saying, I thought we could take a step back and look more fully at his whole story. So at the beginning of the book of Job, he is described as being a very blessed man. He was honest and innocent. He honored God in his life and stayed away from evil. And because of his great faith and his honor to God, Job had an abundance of blessings in his life. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters and a large number of servants. And Job's family was all very close. His children would gather together regularly to share meals. And after each of these meals, Job would go out and burn daily offerings for the sins of each of his children, having enough faith for all of them to remain blessed. And on top of having this big family filled with love, Job also owned 7,000 sheep. He had 3,000 camel, 500 teams of oxen, 500 donkeys. And so we get a picture of Job being this man who had great faith and was blessed by his faith throughout his life. But then the book takes a pretty sharp turn away from looking at Job, and we're implanted into the heavenly realm where God is greeted by Satan. And Satan appears before the Lord and claims that Job is only faithful because how the Lord has blessed him. And knowing this not to be true, God responds to Satan saying, "Everything Job has is in your power, but you must not touch Job himself." And so with this permission from God, Satan sets out to destroy all of Job's blessings. And here we get the story jumping back into being with Job and his family, where a messenger comes to tell him of the carnage to all of his fortunes. The oxen and the donkeys had been carried away by the Sabines. Lightning had struck down all of the sheep. The Babylonians came and stole his camels. So not only had all his livestock been taken away, but also all of the servants who had been tending to those animals were killed and disposed of in these attacks. And then on top of all of that, another messenger comes bringing the news that the house where all of Job's children were gathered together was hit with a strong wind and just collapsed in on itself, killing all of his kids. And Job stood there hearing all of these occurrences, one that happened right after the next, and he fell before God and he mourned. But then almost immediately we get that he also prayed to God, saying, "The Lord has given me these things, and he has taken them away. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, just to pause here, because already so much has happened in the story of Job. He's gone from being this extraordinarily blessed man to now one with not much left around him. And yet we see that he immediately turns and praises God. I want you to imagine one morning you're eating your breakfast, maybe sipping a coffee, reading the news, and you hear a knock on your front door. And when you go to answer, there's a person that tells you all of your land has been destroyed. All of your livestock, your livelihood just ceases to exist. Everyone around you that you loved, it was now gone. That was the position that Job was in. But he did not turn away from his faith in that moment. He didn't sin. He didn't even blame God. He held on to his faith. And he instead praised God for all of those blessings that had been in his life. And so when Satan saw that all of the action that he had taken against Job did not cause him to betray God, he went back and bargained with God yet again, saying if Job's own flesh was destroyed, that's when he would surely betray God. So God told Satan, Job is in your power, but you may not take his life. And so again, with this power from God, Satan covers Job's and sores from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. But in spite of all of this pain, Job remains faithful to God still, once again, not cursing God, not blaming, not sinning. And even as Job's wife tells him to rebuke God to be healed of all of these ailments, Job remains steadfast in his faith. And he continues to look towards God as the source of healing and of comfort and of redemption. So the story continues. And from outside of the situation and life of Job, there are three friends who come to be with him. And as they approach Job, they see how much he was truly suffering. And they notice this suffering to the point where they end up sitting in silence with him for 7 days. 7 full days and nights of nothing but quiet support and company from these friends. Now, I'm somebody who's comfortable in silence with others. But to experience someone in so much suffering or so much pain that there are absolutely no words for 7 days and nights, one can only imagine the extent of that suffering and pain that Job must have been experiencing. But after those 7 days, when the friends finally begin talking with Job, we can see how they start saying all of the wrong things, and the things that they say actually end up being more harmful. His friends doubt Job's innocence. They wrongly accuse him of sinning and insist that all of his current suffering is punishment for some wrongdoing that he had done. And with all this torment and the heartache, Job cries out, "How long will you hurt me and crush me with your words? I have been wronged, but I get no answer. I scream for help, but I get no justice. God has made my brothers enemies. My relatives have gone away. My friends forget me. My guests treat me as a stranger. My servants no longer answer me. My own family cannot stand me. People talk about me when I leave. Those I love have turned against me. I have nothing left but my skin and bones." The only things that he has left in his life are the people who surround him. And those people wrongly accuse him and encourage him to leave his faith behind. But despite all of this pain and suffering and loss, we hear the proclamation from Job in our reading today. "Oh, that my words were written down, that they were inscribed in a book. With an iron pen and lead, they were engraved in a rock forever. Job wants his words to be remembered. In a tradition, in a time where stories were passed down orally through generations of families, Job wanted his to be engraved in a rock forever. He wanted to make sure that we all experience God in the same way that he did, in a way that allowed him, through all his suffering and pain, to still proclaim, "I know my Vindicator lives," that in the end, God will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, and God will be on my side. I don't know about you, but I know for me, if everything I have, my livelihood, my family, my health, had all been taken away from me, and then on top of all of that, those who were left around me turn on me, I certainly would not be able to proclaim praises to God who is on my side. But I think there are many times that we get stuck on the things that we suffer with in this life, that we get that tunnel vision on the ways that everything is going wrong, that we end up losing sight of all the ways that God is, in fact, on our side. We can get so focused on doing the best that we can at our jobs that we miss out on the time with our families, or we pass by opportunities that might take us even further. Or we can get so caught up in trying to manage just one relationship with one person that we neglect or lose the other relationships in our lives that actually nourish us. We can feel like we have so many setbacks with our health that we don't see the ways that we've already healed. We can hold on to anger and frustration and defeat and all of our suffering that we no longer see the ways that God is blessing us. But even through our hardest struggles, God remains on our side and does continue to bless us. God does not pick and choose the way that we all experience hardships. God does not set the hardest challenges before the toughest believers. We all experience hardship. We all suffer in our own ways. And I can only pray that no one suffers as long or as extended and as extreme as Job had. But I also hold on to the promise that in all suffering, God remains with us. And through that remaining with us in our suffering, we all can become like Job and proclaim a God that lives today and that is always by our side. And so this next week, I invite you into a challenge of facing those hardships and those struggles in your life through a new lens of seeing how God is working through those situations. To ask yourself how you can pray, how you can move through those times to worship God in praise. How we all can strive to remember in moments of frustration and in times of hurt, in the uncertainty of tomorrow, that God is always on our side. Amen. Join me in another prayer. We pray for the whole church, all of creation, and the whole people of God. Gracious God, we thank you for all of the blessings that you place upon the earth, from the smallest birds in the sky to the biggest fish in the sea, from the people we love every day to those we don't even know. We know that you create all and tend to all creatures on earth. We ask that you continue to bless us all in our lives as you remain on our side. Use us as the church to bring about your promises in this world, to empower us to remain with those in their struggling, giving us the words we need to be of comfort to them, to be the one around them that reminds them of your presence. We ask that you wrap all of those struggling and in pain in a comforting embrace and bring them to the knowledge that you remain with us all, always. We pray for all of this in your holy name. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. God remains with you.